Hi, everyone, and welcome into Scrambled Eggs, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast here on Crack Sidewalks. Phil, we're 1-0.
Yep, we're never going to lose again. National championship, here we come.
We'll see about that. Joe McCann, Phil Bush here with you once again. We are in regular season mode now. We're hopefully going to be doing these podcasts every week, and we're kind of in the mode of where we're going to break down the last game and look forward to the next game. So that means we're going to talk about the win over Vanderbilt, which was quite enjoyable, and we're going to get you ready for the week to come. So this is for Monday, November 14th, 2016. So we're going to talk about the Howard game briefly and then look forward to the 2K Classic against Michigan and then either Pitt or SMU. Phil, let's first talk about the season opener against Vanderbilt, which was absolutely delightful, to put it gently. Great win in the first game of the season. I really was impressed with how the team played. What did you take away from the season-opening 24-point win over Vanderbilt?
I took away that this team will be really fun to watch this season. They may frustrate at times, but I think we will be seeing some entertaining basketball this season, regardless of outcomes.
I definitely enjoyed watching the game on Friday night. You know, Juwan Johnson certainly lived up to what my expectations are for him this year. I said in the previous podcast, I think he'll be the team MVP. So far, so good. I thought he looked great. I thought a lot of other guys did too. I thought it was interesting that Marcus Howard started, but I thought it was clear over the course of the game, Phil, that Tracy Carter is the best point guard on this team.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I guess I don't know whether that was Marcus Howard starting because Wojo wanted to send a message to Tracy Carter, or if Marcus Howard, you know, earned the start and just kind of the moment was too big for him yet as a 17-year-old kid. But yeah, Tracy Carter, I think, is the truth right now. That's the guy we want running the point. Though even he only had 19 minutes in the game. So there was some point by committee throughout the season, throughout the game. But Tracy Carter definitely looked strong in the role and earned the minutes he got over Marcus Howard.
Yeah, there's a lot to look at from this game. Again, it is just one game for Marquette, but this was our first full look at the team in a game that mattered. And the first thing that did jump out was that Marcus Howard started, and kind of like it. What you hinted at there, Phil. I thought it was kind of what I like to call a reward start for Marcus Howard, which Wojo has been shown to do from time to time for a kid who's worked really hard in practice, and just give him a start and said, hey, you've done a really great job. Let's give you a start. I kind of think that's what I took away from Marcus Howard starting. I think he has worked really hard since he's been on campus, and so Wojo rewarded him with a start. When it came to the game, I thought it was pretty clear that Tracy Carter was the point guard, but as far as the rest of the lineup, you know, Caton Reinhart was another guy we haven't seen yet in a Marquette uniform in a game that mattered. I thought he got off to a rough start, Phil, but I thought he really kind of redeemed himself in the second half, got a couple of nice buckets, got a three-pointer and a long two to fall. I was a little concerned of him early on, I'm not going to lie. I thought he was just going to be a guy who's going to shoot. But as the game went along, I'm like, look, okay, he just had a rough start. I think he's going to be another guy who's going to be able to contribute a lot this year.
Yeah, he definitely, his first half was a difficult half, to say the least, and I was a little bit concerned. But you know, he got the fourth most minutes of the team in the game. So you know, Wojo has faith in him apparently, and he is a fifth year senior, right? So he probably has the ability to play through an off game, and in the second half certainly kind of reignited some of the offense, and we'll touch on it a little bit later. But I think he was part of some of the key halftime changes that Wojo made. That, you know, the changes were effective in igniting the second half for Marquette, but also were really great to see, you know, Wojo make some significant coaching changes that had some very positive results. But I think Reinhart, you know, I think that's probably, I'm going to guess that first half is the low ebb of his performance for Marquette this season. It was so rough. I don't expect to see that again.
I just chalk it up to nerves. You know, first game in a Marquette uniform, wanted to make something happen, tried to force a few shots, and they didn't fall. But he got him going in the second half. But, you know, as I watched that game, Phil, even though Marquette was trailing by one at half, I still felt like they were largely in control. And I think that kind of echoed in the second half when they kept turning Vanderbilt over. I thought Marquette's guards really overwhelmed Vanderbilt. Maybe part of that was due to the numbers for Marquette and how many guys they were able to keep running out there. And the team was never really tired because they had so many guards who kept running out there. And I thought they really wore down Vanderbilt. Plus, Vanderbilt's big, got in a little bit of foul trouble, and really never were a factor in the second half. I just felt that was honestly a very confident, a very convincing just butt kicking. I mean, from start to finish, for lack of a better term. Like I said, even though they were down at half, I thought Marquette was largely in control the entire game.
Yeah, well, and if you remember the only reason Marquette ended up down at half was Fisher Davis hit a couple of, at least two ridiculous shots that you just can't guard luck, that gave Vanderbilt the edge at halftime. But I agree. I think Marquette, you know, maybe a little bit here and there, you know, kind of fell out of what it wanted to do, but it was remarkably shorter time periods than last season. Last season, you know, Marquette would get out of sorts for 5, 6, 7 minutes at a time, and then would snap back and kind of play to its talent level. Whereas, again, one game, but, you know, Marquette, if it was maybe one or two possessions at most where they would get out of sorts and they kind of snap back in. So I think that speaks to, one, the experience that they have this year versus last year that we've harped on. And two, I think Wojo has much more command over what this team is doing on the court than he may have in previous seasons, just because he's more confident in what everybody is doing and what they should be doing.
Yeah, I think he feels like he knows this team pretty well, right? Because there's so much experience on this team. He really knows what he has. There's not a ton of mystery on this team as far as, I don't know what this guy's going to give me or what that guy's going to give me. I think he's pretty confident in what each guy's going to bring to the table, because most of these guys he had last year, the only new faces are the freshmen. And one of those new faces, or the freshmen and the transfers, I should say, with Reinhardt. And he kind of knows what he has with Rousey, because Rousey was on the roster last year, even though he was a transfer. But as far as the freshman, Phil, I definitely want to talk about what we saw with Sam Hauser in his first game. I was really impressed. Again, it's just one game, but I really like his three-point stroke. I thought he was active in other aspects of the game. I thought he did a decent job on the boards. I mean, according to the box score, he had three rebounds, but it felt like he was even a little more active than that. And I really like what I saw in one game from Sam Hauser.
Yeah, I think the key was, and this speaks to why you felt he was more active than the three boards they credited him with. I think he was a player who, especially for an 18-year-old freshman, was in the right place at the right time and was making a basketball play, not necessarily that benefited himself, but benefited the team. More often than not, he was putting a body on a body and was boxing out successfully that allowed somebody else to get the board. I think between he and Fisher, they were facilitating the team rebounding. You know, the folks like Hanif and Juwan Johnson being able to crash down and get some boards. So I think Sam Hauser showed certainly more poise than you would expect from a freshman. And
right.
And he may not be a big body yet, but he knows where to go on the court. And I think that's, especially against, even though Vanderbilt's an inexperienced with a lot of coaching change, you know, Vanderbilt isn't a slot. They have talent on that team. So, I mean, Sam Hauser's performance against a team of that caliber bodes well for the rest of the season for him, I think.
Yeah, one thing I was thinking about as I watched Sam Hauser kind of go to work down low when he had to, or get a few rebounds, I was thinking, you know, if, heaven forbid, Marquette is in a situation where they can't have Fisher or Helt on the court, whether because of fouls or injury, I think Hauser, in a pinch, could fill in at the five. Is he an ideal fit down there? No. But say if you're in a situation where both Fisher and Helt are in foul trouble, like if Marquette has to go really small, I think he could make that work, just because I think he's conscious enough of how to defend down there and how to rebound. Again, I'm not saying start him at center, just to be clear, but I'm saying if you're in a situation where neither Fisher nor Helt is available, I think he could kind of make it work down there for a few minutes as a five.
No, well, let me ask you this, Joe. Do you think we would ever do that as a strategy play, some of that small ball, five out, none in kind of offense? Do you think he could hold his own?
I would say that would be very rare. It would be a matchup thing. Say maybe if you were going against it, for whatever reason, you were going against a team and the situation called for going really small. Maybe, but I don't think that is something Wojo is planning on. I'm saying, basically what I'm saying is, if you know, Matt Helt still has troubles with offensive fouls. That was pretty evident in the game the other night. He had four offensive fouls. He only played 3 minutes. But if there's a situation where, say, maybe you're in the first half and both Fisher and Helt both have two or three quick fouls each, I think Hauser could make it work down there. But to answer your question, Phil, no, I don't think that's a lineup that I think Wojo would prefer to use. No, I think Hauser is definitely a guy who's going to be at his best as a stretch four, just stepping out and hitting a three pointer or a long two. I think that's his strength. So I wouldn't say no. Long term, would I want him as a five? No, but I'm saying in a pinch, could he help out down low? Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean he scored the fourth most points on the team. So I mean, the defensive end, as always, will always be the concern.
Right.
But I definitely think from an offensive end, he can certainly fill it up. Again, we keep having to say this is one game only, but quite frankly, I've now seen him play four times, and every single time I've gotten this impression from him, you know, if you exclude what he did in high school, because I kind of do that because the talent level is so different, but if you look
right,
at
he was the best player on the court every time he played in high school.
Correct. And he was playing out of position for his size and what he would do at the next level. But if you look at, you know, look at the private practice, the Rockhurst game, the Marquette Madness, and now this game, Sam Hauser has been probably the third or fourth best player on the court at all times in those scenarios. So I think, and especially as a freshman, he'll hit a wall, he'll have some tough games, but I think he is the real deal and will contribute to this season successfully, and more so than you would expect from your average freshman. I think he will be an above-average freshman contributor.
And supposedly the second-best prospect in his own family.
That's true. Now, if that
come on down, Joey, whenever you're ready, buddy.
You know, we've had brothers on the team together before. I'm just saying it can happen again.
Whenever you're ready, Joey, pull the trigger on that commitment. But I love what I see from Sam Hauser again. Through one game that matters, really like what I see. I think he will be a steady contributor. Is he going to be a guy who's going to get you 14 points every night? Probably not. But I think he's a guy, when he comes off the bench, you will be comfortable with him in the game. Say he's going to make good decisions, whether he hits a couple shots, gets a couple of boards, and then goes back to the bench. Whatever his role is going to be, I think, you know, if maybe there are nights when Reinhardt isn't shooting the ball well, he could take more minutes from Reinhardt if the situation warrants. So I'm very, again, just one game. We say that's probably going to be, what, 15 or 20 times we're going to say it on the show today. But I love what I saw from Sam Hauser in the debut against Vanderbilt.
Yeah, and he provide the other thing I will say kind of as a transition to the next topic. He is one of many shooters on this team that you feel comfortable taking shots. So even if players are off, you always have other players that will likely be on. It's with as many shooters on this team, including Sam Hauser and Caton and Juwan Johnson, which is a weird thing to say after seeing him as a freshman, and Hanif and the rest of the team, there are plenty of shooters on this team that can make up for if somebody's just not feeling it. So I think this gives a good indication of why this team will be so exciting, because I think their shooting will be there every game in some form or another.
Yeah, I think you kind of hinted to the next topic there, Phil. That's going to be a fluid thing, because there are going to be some nights when some guys who were off previously may be on. For example, Marcus Howard and Andrew Rousey did not make a shot in the game against Vanderbilt. I don't think that's going to be the case this week. I expect one, if not both, to come around. And maybe some guys who we saw have good games in the opener, say, for example, Hauser. You know, maybe they won't be as proficient offensively. I think it's going to be so fluid, because it looks like Wojo is going to play, at least for now, all 11 guys, right?
Yeah.
He got all the guys in there. Maybe once we get into conference play, maybe the rotation will tighten up a little bit. But he's going to just give everybody a chance and see who contributes and who doesn't. And if we get through 10 or 15 games and it's pretty obvious, maybe there are 8 or 9 guys who are consistently contributing, and maybe there are some who need to take a step back, that's a decision Wojo will have to make at that time. But I think everybody's going to get a fair chance to contribute, and I would expect to see maybe a little more from guys who were a little quiet in the first game, because when you're playing 11 guys, not everybody's going to get a chance to score. There's only so many minutes in a game. There are only so many shots to be taken. So I think a guy like Rousey, who I'm going to stick with as my pick to make the most three-pointers on the team this year, didn't have his shot on Friday. I think he'll come around this week.
Yeah, and it's going to be, and this is where I come back to the flexibility and the coaching acumen of Wojo, is knowing which players have it, which don't, which combinations work, you know, who to ride, who to sit down and give time. You know, there were a number of adjustments in this game that Wojo made that I thought were very impactful on the game. You know, we talked about how Marquette was kind of in control in the first half, even though the score didn't reflect it. One of the things that I was very excited to see, and I wonder, and I'm going to make a comparison that maybe is not, you know, that might, people might go, okay, get over it, that's silly. But when Wojo in the second half, Fisher Davis from Vanderbilt was giving Marquette some trouble, and he decided to switch Hanif Cheatham on to Fisher Davis on the defensive end almost exclusively. And Davis had, I think, one bucket the rest of the way. And Cheatham even had a couple of steals on him, including one that he got his own, you know, breakaway transition three-point shot, which will just go, if it goes in, you're elated, and if it doesn't, you're just devastated because you could have had the easy basket. But be that as may, those kinds of changes from Wojo are very strong, and I wonder if we're also going to see Hanif in that Jimmy Butler role, where he's the lead defensive stopper when, you know, from the one through the four position or one through the three position, and just does whatever it is that Wojo needs him to do on the defensive end.
Slow down, Phil.
I'm saying in the role. I'm not saying he is Jimmy Butler.
But no, I see where you're going with that, though, because long term, I think Hanif Cheatham is certainly going to be one of the faces of the program. I think for what he can bring offensively and defensively, he's certainly got the athleticism to be an elite defender, and he has the body control around the rim and the form on his jump shot to be a high-level scorer. And he had a great game against Vanderbilt. I mean, 15 points, 6 boards, 3 assists.
3 of 5 from 3?
Yeah, his jump shot looked great last year, too. He just didn't take that many threes. I guess maybe he just wasn't comfortable taking many, or just wasn't what was, I don't know, what was being called for in the offense at the time. But, Cheatham, he has star written all over him, to me. And I can see what you're saying about could he be the defensive stopper at times, maybe. But I think there are other guys who can defend on this team pretty well also. I think Juwan is a pretty good defender. Maybe he's more good off the ball as far as the guy who can jump into passing lanes. He got a few of those breakaway steals in the game against Vanderbilt. I think Juwan can be a very good defender. I think Tracy Carter can be a very good defender too. But, I can see what you're saying there with Cheatham, just because he does have that athleticism that you would expect out of an elite defender.
Well, and he's also got the height, and that's more the comparison to Jimmy Butler, in that Jimmy could guard, you know, three positions, and quite frankly does in the NBA certainly now, but could guard three positions, and given his height and his length and his athleticism. And I think Hanif is in the same mold. It'll be interesting to see if he falls into that more of a, he's getting the primary defensive assignment. Does the offense flow more through other players than it does Hanif? But I mean, ultimately that comes down to whatever it is Wojo's hoping to accomplish with the team from a defensive standpoint.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll see more of that this week as we look ahead to what's coming up this week. You know, Marquette has I wouldn't call it a bye game, because I guess the Howard game is technically part of the 2K Classic, but it has the feel of a bye game. You know, this is the team Marquette is expected to win handily against, and then they got two interesting games in the Garden against Michigan and then either Pitt or SMU. Let's move on and talk about those games, Phil. Let's touch on the Howard game briefly, because by the time some of the people listen to this, the Howard game may have already taken place as we're posting this for Monday. But, you know, Howard's a team that, you know, they're in the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. You know, they're not a team that you would probably expect a whole lot out of. But, you know, Mike Broker actually posted a pretty interesting article that the Undefeated wrote about Howard this week. You can go check out that if you're interested in it. They're hopeful that this could be the Howard team that finally breaks through and gets them back into the tournament. We saw them on Sunday. They played against Michigan, who Marquette will play on Thursday in the 2K Classic, and Michigan won that game, of course. But, you know, Howard is a team that, you know, feel not to, like, you know, talk down about them too much, but KenPom has Marquette as a 98% favorite, a pretty heavy favorite in this game. You would expect, hopefully, a relatively easy win on Monday.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a case where they want to get some live action, run some different offensive sets. I wouldn't anticipate. You would hope there's enough experience that they don't look past Howard. But I certainly think this game will be closer than we might otherwise suspect, given the name. One, Howard has talent. And two, I do think there's a little bit of coming off the high of the Vanderbilt game, plus, you know, the Garden trip coming up, that this team may need a little bit of focus. They may look at the first 10 minutes of that game and say, how is Howard in this game? And so I wouldn't anticipate a cakewalk out of Howard, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, Howard may hang around a little bit, but again, you expect Marquette to win this game. If you're looking to name drop a couple guys, you know, I mean, their points were pretty evenly distributed against Michigan, actually, between Damon Collins having 12, James Miller having 10, Marcel Boyd. I mean, they have a couple of bigs. I mean, Marcel Boyd's a 6'10 guy. He's listed as a guard, but I mean, at 6'10, he's going to be playing in the post mostly in there against Marquette. So, size wise, I think Marquette should still have mostly the advantage over Howard. Bottom line, Marquette should have too much talent for Howard. I would expect this would be a game where the minutes were again be pretty evenly distributed, as we kind of saw against Vanderbilt. There weren't too many guys who, you know, you look at the minutes of how they were distributed against Vanderbilt. The only guy who played a ton of minutes was Fisher, who played 32, and I think that's largely due to the fact that
Held only played
3 minutes due to foul trouble. And I am putting a motion until he gets past this to call all illegal screens Helts until he can get kind of past, because that's kind of Matt Helt's weakness, isn't it? He keeps getting called for illegal screens. So hopefully he can get past that. He had four fouls in 3 minutes. So we need Matt Helt to get past that. But
yeah, he's doing the best Chris Grimm impression that I've ever seen.
Yeah, he really is. But again, most guys played fewer than 30 minutes. I mean, Reinhardt played 26, Juwan played 29, Cheatham played 28, and then you got 14 each from Dwayne Wilson and Andrew Rousey. Hauser and Carter played 19 minutes each. So pretty spread out, and we'll see how they do it differently, if they do it any differently against Howard. Maybe some of those guys who didn't get as many minutes, like, say, Marcus Howard, Sandy Cohen, Matt Helt, if foul situation and game situation allows, I would think maybe they'd get a few more minutes against Howard. But basically, it just should be a tune-up for later in the week when they head into Madison Square Garden for what should be a pretty good event, Phil. And, you know, if you're looking at KenPom rankings, these are four pretty evenly ranked teams between Marquette, Michigan, Pitt, and SMU, all kind of in the 30 to 50 range on KenPom.
Yeah, well, and like we said last week, these four teams that we just – Marquette, Michigan, SMU, Pitt – they will likely at the end of the season all be competing for slots in the big tournament. So it's very important that Marquette put a good performance in the Garden, because these are games that will matter at the end of the season when we're comparing and contrasting.
Yeah, if you're going by KenPom, you talk about close rankings. As we record this on Sunday night, SMU 32, Marquette 33, Michigan 34, Pitt 51.
That is close.
That's about as close you can get as far as, again, early season rankings. You're basically basing this off partly off last year's statistics and also through one or two games for the rest of the teams. But pretty even matchups, and I think, like you said, Phil, the team that comes out of this 2-0, I think will have a big leg up when it comes to the bubble when we get to Selection Sunday. Because, like you said, I think a lot of these teams will be in that bubble mix as far as trying to be one of the last few teams in the tournament. If you've beaten some other teams that are trying to get there, you know, you've got that leg up on them.
Yeah, well, and Michigan is going to be certainly, you know, like the KenPom numbers indicate, should it's early in the season, but should be comparable or nearly equal. But Michigan's going to be a much tougher game than Vanderbilt for two reasons. One, Michigan's a much more experienced team than Vanderbilt at this point. In fact, have more experience on the team than Marquette has right now. If you look at the KenPom in terms of how much the average years on the team. And then the other aspect is a veteran coaching staff that's been in place and a point guard that knows what they're doing. So I don't know that we're going to see the same kind of turnovers and easy points, if you will, on transition from because the defense is generating offense for Marquette. I think this is going to be a much more grinded out win possession by possession game than kind of the free flowing game. At least that's how I see it. How do you see it?
Yeah, you say veteran point guard. I assume you're talking about Derek Walton there with Michigan. Yeah, I mean, he's been very good early on. I'm honestly the big name that I'm concerned. Maybe this is just because he's a name I'm so familiar with is Zach Ervin. I remember him coming out of high school as being a highly touted recruit. And I remember when he originally committed to Michigan. I'm surprised he's a senior already, but he's a guy who I think can cause some matchup problems for Marquette, being a 6'6" guard. I'm not sure who's going to guard him. I would assume maybe Juwan's going to and Cheatham maybe would be on him for the most part, but Zach Ervin. To me, could be a problem for Marquette. He is just such a big athletic guard who I think can get his shot pretty easily. He's averaging about 11. I mean, he scored 11 points in their first game against Howard. Michigan's played Howard and IUPUI, so they've played two teams that Marquette are going to play this year, both Howard and IUPUI. So Zach Ervin is the guy I am most concerned with when I'm talking about Michigan, just because big guards concern me because I'm not sure who's going to guard them for Marquette, because Marquette, again, mostly small, because Marquette is mostly small guards. So if you're talking about a big guard who can guard someone, it's going to have to be Cheatham or Juwan Johnson. So one of those guys is going to have to find a way to kind of limit what Zach Ervin can bring to the table. And you mentioned Derek Walton, and he's an interesting guy to bring up too, Phil, because he is also a senior. And so when you have a senior point guard who has plenty of starting experience, who's not going to turn the ball over, that's one area where they could have an advantage over.
Yeah, and so the point guard play will make significant difference, because again, we'll see. We spoke highly of Tracy Carter and Rousey to a certain extent from a point guard play and Marcus Howard. They all played relatively well within the Vanderbilt game, but again, there wasn't as much experience and perhaps as talent at the point guard position as they'll go against Michigan. So how they generate and initiate that offense may be tougher than it was against Vanderbilt. Marquette largely had their way, and I would not expect that Michigan will allow Marquette to have their way. Plus, it'll be interesting to see how Marquette plays against the 1-3-1. If they're shooting well, they could really force Michigan out of that early, but it'll be tough to see if they could fall in love with the three and the shots may not be falling, and that would be tough to come back from.
Yeah, you mentioned the coaching staff, Phil. John Beilein is, to my money, like I would put him as like maybe one of the top two or three coaches in the country, but I would say certainly he's one of the top 10 coaches in the country. I think he is just an excellent coach. I mean, he's a guy who is normally one of the last guys standing when it comes to March Madness, and he has a long track record of success. And so Michigan's going to be very well prepared for Marquette later this week. So, again, great. You mentioned a good coaching staff, but I think you bring up a good point of Marquette shooting against a 1-3-1. In the past, you worry about Marquette's ability to shoot over a zone like that, but there are so many shooters on Marquette's roster. You would hope, Phil, that over the course of the game, Marquette would have at least a couple guys who would be hitting enough shots to take advantage of a zone defense.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, I don't think there are so many shooters on the team that I don't think they could all go cold. But again, it the key is to taking good shots within the offense. If you're dribbling down and end up in the corner on a 1-3-1, that's a good shot. But if you're sitting midway on the arc and decide to take a contested three, that's not a good shot. So how they work against that defense and how much 1-3-1 Michigan plays will be very telling, because the other option is to try and break it down on the dribble and feed Fisher underneath, where we would in theory have some advantage. They've got some size, but I think Fisher will be the best post presence on either team. So whether they feed Fisher or try and shoot from the outside will be interesting, which
Yeah,
strategy
because
we'll go with.
those are the two ways you beat a zone, right? One obviously is just shooting over it and just making a bunch of threes, and then the other way is ball movement and just, reversing the ball and finding spaces in the zone and getting a pass into a guy like Fisher, who can, if you move the ball well enough, then the zone can't catch up, and then you can get it down low to a guy like Fisher who could take advantage. So I am optimistic there are a couple ways that Marquette could take advantage of a 1-3-1 or whatever kind of defense Beilein's going to throw at them on Thursday. So we've only seen this team in a real game once, but just from what we know about the players we have, I think Marquette has a few different options to attack Michigan. And I'm thinking, even though I predicted on our podcast last week, Phil, that they'd come out of this thing 1-1, I think it's reasonable to think that Marquette could find a way to come out of New York 2-0.
I certainly, I mean, I was the one projecting to be 4-0 after the 2K Classic, and I see no reason to change that. In fact, I'm even more encouraged. I know, one game, whatever, but
We're going to predict Marquette to eventually be 30-0 at some point.
I did at the beginning of the podcast. You thought I was kidding? Clearly, I wasn't. But I think this is a team with enough talent and enough capability to go, and let's one of the other things around experience, this will be the second time in a early non-conference season playing at the Garden in a quote unquote tournament, right? So last year they were there and had some bad, then some good experiences from that and those sorts of things. So you would think that carries over to this season now that they're back, and we'll remember that. And I don't think Wojo is going to have to give them any itchy, practice uniforms or anything like that to remind them. So
Exactly. Hopefully, they don't have to practice outdoors or practice in the freezing cold or plain white t-shirts or
Right.
whatever.
I see every reason for them to be successful this weekend.
And hey, it's a Jordan Brand battle, right? Because Michigan's a
Yep.
Jordan Brand school. So we'll get that one. And then the game after that would be either Pitt or SMU, depending on how the other game goes, whether Marquette is playing in a third place game or the championship. So that would be, no matter how Thursday goes, Friday will be another chance to get a win over a presumed bubble-ish type of team. I personally, Phil, just want to see Pitt, just because I want to see all the sad Pitt Bear memes coming from Anonymous Eagle, who has made that thing so famous, which I absolutely love. But whoever it is, Phil, it will be another good opponent. Without, I don't want to go maybe too deep into breaking down both teams, because we're not sure who they're going to play on Friday. But either way, it is going to be, like you say, another opportunity for a team that Marquette may be competing with for a tournament spot.
Yeah, and again, it's an opportunity. I don't know that there's as much history between Marquette and SMU, but I would certainly love to face Pitt. Between the Big East destruction that was Pitt, and then the sad Pitt Bear, there's so many reasons to want to play them.
We could play SMU for all the Craig James jokes,
they tell themselves.
though.
But I think it's going to be a case of of just going out and again playing a different style, getting ready on short rest and seeing what you can do. So I can't predict one or the other because the season is too early to really tell if either of those teams are any good. But
Right.
it should be a reflection. If Marquette loses, it's probably more of a reflection on some inexperience and some ways to go with Marquette developing offense and defensive capabilities than it is really about, Marquette not being talented enough or good enough.
Yeah, I will say this, though. If Marquette ends up playing SMU, I will be very wary of Shemi Ojeleye, who's a guy who, when he left Duke, we thought maybe he might actually be a fit at Marquette because, Wojo recruited him to Duke, right? And then he became available. He left Duke and he wound up at SMU. He's a former, previously he was like a four-star prospect, a national top 100 guy, and he landed at SMU. He's got to be aware of if Marquette ends up playing SMU. Very good player. He's been pretty good through their first couple of games. So that's a guy I would be very concerned with if Marquette ends up playing SMU, because I think he'll be probably their best player this year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to.
I don't know if you remember him when he transferred from Duke, and he was a guy that was kind of on the radar. Like when he left Duke, a lot of people saying, "Oh, he'd be a great fit for Marquette because he's a former Duke guy." Wojo probably knows him.
Yeah.
He's like a 6'6", 6'5". He's listed 6'7", swingman, and he's a powerful. He scored 26 in their first game against Eastern Washington. So good player. So if Marquette ends up playing SMU, be very aware of Shimi Ogile. Very, very good player who could make a difference in that game.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the matchups. Again, it goes to that tweener. Do you put someone like Reinhardt, or do you put some combination of Hanif JJ on him?
God, he had 14 boards too in their first game. So, I mean, through one game, it looks good, but so far he's averaging 26 and 14.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, then
Yes.
extrapolate that. Just we're
Gotta knock
dead.
those averages down. Gotta knock those averages down if they end up
We
playing Marquette. But again,
have to get Sad Pit Bear.
yeah, please bring me Sad Pit Bear. I really want to see him again because I miss him and he's so fun. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm sure Anonymous Eagle will at least put the picture out there. Just search Sad Pit Bear. I'm sure you'll find it somewhere because
Yeah,
it's hilarious.
there are several of them. There's an original, but there are several imitators that have surfaced since that are almost as good. One I found myself that involved someone in a stuffed bear outfit at a bar. I
We don't
will
need to
I
go into
will
too many
retweet it
details.
if we play Pit.
All right, so all right, oh, I'm going to hold you to that then. So go Pitt and go Marquette later this week. Phil, let's just wrap it up with this. By the end of the week, when we're recording our next podcast, what will Marquette's record be?
They will be a hearty 4-0.
I am going to play the optimist card, which is really not my forte, but I'm going to say Marquette's going to be 4-0 this time next week as well.
Stop stealing my thunder, man. That's the one
I
thing I
know.
got.
I'm normally the pessimist who at least picks a loss here and there, but I loved what I saw on Friday, and they best win on Monday because that's Howard, and also because it's November 14th, so you have to win on that day. And I would also say they win two games in New York because I think they'll be very close, and I am hoping that they will get two wins in New York and then come back 4-0, and then we could be very excited looking forward as then Marquette would have a few more bye games that you would expect them to win before they get to that really challenging slate in the middle, in early to mid-December.
Yeah, I mean, if they go in, I mean, not forecasting too far ahead, I suppose, but I mean, if both of us are correct, then they have the potential to be 7-0 going into that road Georgia game, and in theory should be playing with a lot of confidence. So that'll be interesting.
I missed it. I forgot to bring it up last week, but I'll bring it up now because Brewtown Andy, who of course runs Anonymous Eagle, he's the guy who's normally tweeting from the Anonymous Eagle account. He was on a podcast with Big East Coast Bias, and he had two bold predictions that he said, feel free to react to these. One of them, the first bold prediction was there's an outside shot that Fisher could lead the team in assists. Just because he would always be kicking out the three-point shooters. But the other bold prediction, this is why I bring this up, was that he said there was an outside shot that Marquette could be unbeaten heading into the Wisconsin game, which is bold because I definitely fear that stretch of Georgia on the road and then a sleeper game against Fresno State before
With
Wisconsin.
on 3 days rest, yeah.
Right, because you only have Monday in between those two games. So it's still very bold to expect that Marquette would actually be undefeated heading into the Bucky game. And I think we're getting way too excited after just one win over Vanderbilt.
There is
But
no such thing as too excited. The game's awesome.
basketball is great. But if they do get out of New York unbeaten, Phil, I do think we could start getting a little bit excited as that Marquette will have a at worst one loss, possibly even unbeaten going into the Wisconsin game.
And then so let's put a pin in this conversation. Let's assume the next time we pod, if the team is 4-0, we need to have a conversation around when will they be ranked.
Right, yeah, I think that's getting a little too far ahead of things,
Well, I think it is getting too far ahead, but if they're go undefeated going into that Wisconsin game, it's worth the discussion because when was the last time Marquette was ranked?
It definitely would have had to been under Buzz at some point.
Right. It was certainly wasn't that last season. But
they might have been ranked early that season.
Right.
Like I would have, you know, if you had asked me that before we recorded the podcast, I could have actually looked it up and started going through old records.
Why would we plan ahead?
I know, you know, planning things is not our forte, but it's definitely been, I mean, they've definitely never been ranked under Wojo, because, you know, nothing against Wojo and his staff, but obviously since he's taken over, there's never been a situation where there was any kind of preseason hype or they had any kind of winning streak, you know, heading into any game where you would think, oh yeah, they'd be a ranked team. But yeah, it's probably been a while since Marquette's been ranked. I'm trying to think maybe the last time they actually were. I'm trying to actually scroll through a few old records while I kill some time talking to you, Phil, and trying to see the last time that they were ranked. But it actually has been a while since Marquette's been ranked.
Right. Like I said, let's put a pin in it, because if you're beating top 50 teams in Michigan and Pitt and or SMU and maybe you go on the road and you beat Georgia, you know, hey, you know, those things start to become something that gets talked about, and it's worth the discussion, because that can also present false hope as well, right? You get ranked, and then you play a Wisconsin team and get crushed. Okay, you know, not so great, but it's worth discussing maybe the next time around.
Okay, I'm bringing this up. I think this was the last time they were ranked. Buzz's last season, they had lost to Ohio State a couple weeks earlier when they got blown out. It was kind of the return game after that failed game on the ship.
Yep.
They got and then 2 weeks later they played Arizona State. They were 25th in the country. They lost by 2.
Okay.
And I don't think they've been ranked since.
Okay. So it's been almost 4 years.
That was November 25th, 2013. I don't think they would have been
almost 3 years.
Ranked. Yeah, I don't think they would have been ranked again after that, because they were essentially a 500 team after that.
Yep. Yep.
All right. So again, that is on the fly research. Somebody may back me up on that and correct me, but I believe that was the last time Marquette was ranked.
Right.
I can't believe we're talking about them being ranked after just one win over Vanderbilt.
Listen, let your overreaction memes and GIFs flow.
I mean, look, what is the point of having a podcast if we're not going to say outrageous things?
That's pretty much my life philosophy.
So we would love your reactions to all of this, and that's why we love you, for you guys to reach out to us and hit us up on Twitter. I'm Joe McCann 3. Phil is MOOF23. You can hit us up at the team handle, Cracked Sidewalks. Leave your comments on CrackSidewalks.com. That's where we post the podcasts. And we also have a Facebook page for Scrambled Eggs where you could leave some comments there. And, of course, you could leave your ratings and reviews on iTunes. And I think that's just about do it for this week's show, Phil. Again, you're hopeful that we will be 4-0 next time we record a Scrambled Eggs?
Yes, I'm hopeful we're 4-0, and I'm hopeful people will tweet at you happy birthday for your birthday tomorrow. So while you're thinking of the Howard game, think of Joe and how old he is.
I thank you very much. You know, another year older, as much as that depresses me, I am always happy because my birthday basically means that Marquette basketball has started.
Yeah, listen, so, you're not too old. You're just a little too old to be in the club.
That really has been the case for about 10 years now. So, again, we thank you for your comments. Again, leave them on all the Twitter handles or whatever I just mentioned and all that stuff, Facebook. And, again, we appreciate your ratings and reviews on iTunes. Hopefully this will be a 3-0 week for Marquette, and then we can reasonably talk about them being ranked next time here on Scrambled Eggs. Until then, seashells and balloons, everyone.